Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 13th day of August, year 2023. I'm your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is Our Banana Republic. Now, by the way, when I use the term pastor, it's in the sense of a shepherd, not as a, quote, leader or somebody who claims to have esoteric knowledge of our Heavenly Father. It's simply pastor comes from not so much ancient, but old words that relate to a shepherd in a field or a pasture. So pasture, that sort of thing. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast. Brinhanda Kumriambith. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces, so just pastordan.net. At that website, you'll see a daily mail page where we put the latest information on various topics, current events, health issues, etc. There's also a home page, which in most websites is the first page. The homepage is where you'll find some basic information about us, and also for those who feel led to help us out financially, and for those that do, we say thank you very, very much. Yahweh bless your hearts. But anyway, that's on the homepage. For folks who do not have my personal contact information, you can go to the Contact Us page on that website. When you fill that out and hit send, it will end up in my inbox. And again, Richard Buckminster Fuller, you never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. That's what many people are starting to realize is the solution that we need to be focusing on, building a new model. And what would that model be based on? Our Heavenly Father and Scripture, would it not? Yeah, you know, the things that actually work, the things that truth and justice versus what we have in the banana republic that most of the white nations have become. I'm going to get into the definition of a banana republic here in just a minute. And Revelation 18:4, and another voice from heaven came to my ears saying, come out of her, my people, so that you may have no part in her sins and in her punishments. Who is the her? Come out of her. Babylon. Mystery Babylon, this whole system, this beast system that has grown up around us, this totalitarian and authoritarian system, man-made governments, if you will. Yahweh never gave us the commandment to create them. He was our government. Everything was on His shoulders, remember? Isaiah 33:22 makes that quite clear. When He is both the executive, legislative, and judicial branches of your government, He will be your Savior. That's all in one verse. So we created bodies of men thinking that they will, quote, save us, govern us, protect us, when in fact the governments of men have become just the opposite. They are the beast spoken of in Scripture, and they are rendering and tearing apart the sheep. And the shepherds who should be leading the sheep out of this system are in fact guiding and leading the sheep into the slaughterhouse. That's your modern day preachers, priests, and some who call themselves pastors. They are leading the sheep to the slaughter. Proverbs 25, verse 2, it is the glory of Yahweh God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings, that's you and me, his kings and priests, it is the honor of kings to search out a matter. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people on whom my name is named make themselves low or humble and come to me in prayer, searching for me and turning from their evil ways, then I will give ear from heaven, overlooking their transgressions or sins, and will give life again to their land or to their people. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Again, we're talking about an if-then statement, which again, interestingly, a writer. And if-then statements are sort of like putting in on paper what programmers put in computers, building logic statements, algorithms, if you will. That's where all that comes from. Let me check my chat here real quick. The sound is good with everybody else, John. Oh, okay, you got your sound. Okay, good enough. Thanks. Very good. So again, we are told in that 2 Chronicles 7:14, we're given the conditions that Yahweh expects from us. First of all, he's addressing it to his people. So obviously there are people who are not his people, correct? The church world wants you to believe that everybody is his people. That's not so. Make yourselves humble. Speaking of humble, Jim Humble in his Miracle Mineral Solution, also known as simply MMS, which is chlorine dioxide, every believer, every patriot should have those two bottles of activator and the chlorine, which is not like chlorine bleach. Do not mistake the name chlorine, because in your minds, everybody thinks that. We're talking about a natural occurring substance here. So chlorine dioxide or MMS, you should have it on hand because it is known as the universal antidote. Please take note of that. The universal antidote, if you know what an antidote is. Okay? And use it, by the way, which I'm guilty of lately, not using it as much as I should, and I need to get back into that. When the government fears the people, we have liberty. When the people fear the government or reverence the government, we have tyranny. And one of my favorites, and this is one that we're going to pound into your heads until you finally get it, Henry David Thoreau, which it used to be taught in school, his writings, but Henry David Thoreau said, there are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to the one who is striking at the root. So if you take a group of 1,000 people in this world today, those 1,000 people are whacking away at the branches. What's that mean? Well, you've got the branch over here that's Second Amendment people. You got the branch over here that's education reformation and education rights. You've got these over here for medical freedom. Those are each a branch on this tree. And we got 1,000 of them, and probably more than that, because the beast is that evil today. So for every 1,000 out there bitching about and complaining about and wanting to do this and that to fix the problem, you only got one standing out there like John the Baptist in the wilderness going, why don't we take care of this root? This tree is huge with 1,000 branches that are strangling us and putting queers and transgenderism and other sick and demented mentally ill people, holding them up as if they're normal. We got it all around us, but how many people are saying, you know, all of these evils spring from a single root? They do, just like a tree. It's one root. I grew up on a farm, and if you had a tree out where you want to put a garden or whatever, you got to get that tree out of your garden, which means you have to not only chop it down, but you got to dig out the roots, or you're going to have a problem there continually. Same thing when we used to pull weeds. My mom, I can still hear her saying it to me. You got to pull up the root. We were little kids and we're out in the garden and we're pulling weeds. We just figured just pull the green thing sticking up through the dirt. And like mom said, no, it'll just grow back. You need to pull up the roots. So the same thing. Who's the root of all these evils? I'll give you some clues. They wear little hats when they go into their synagogues. They study a thing called the Talmud, not the Bible. They worship Lucifer, not Yahweh, our Heavenly Father. They also do not believe in a hereafter. That's why they want to turn this world into a hell, because this is the only, quote, paradise they have to look forward to. That is also why Jews work so hard and spend so much money trying to figure out how to extend the life of this bag of bones we call a body, why they are so intense on trying to bleed our children so they can drink the adrenochrome and all this other stuff. Why are they doing this? This insanity. Because this is all they get. You and I, of course, we have some place we're going to go when we leave here. So we don't look at life that way. We don't worship life. Even Yahshua told us that. He who clings to this life will lose his life. But he who gives up his life, meaning gives up the worry, gives up the longing to prolong life at any cost. As soon as you give up the fear of death, you gain your life. The Jew can't do that. That's why they are mentally ill. And people say, well, Dan, you can't say that about Jews. Sigmund Freud said that, and he's Jewish. Edward Bernays said that, and he's Jewish. And I could give you many other Jewish authors and practitioners who have said the same thing. The whole study of mental illness started in Jewish communities. How many people know that? That's why Sigmund Freud started the whole psychiatry and psychology, quote, industry, in the beginning was to help his fellow Jews, because he knew they are mentally ill. They are mentally ill. Just look at the insanity going on around us today, and it's all funded and guided by the George Soroses, the Rothschilds, etc., all of them kikes. And yeah, I use the term kike because that's what they used to use when they came here many, many years ago to Ellis Island. They used to make a circle, which is called a kikel in Yiddish. That's their language, not Hebrew. They are not Hebrews, and they don't speak the Hebrew language. They speak Yiddish, which is a bastardized language, not even close to ancient Hebrew. But anyway, they would make a circle because they hated to put an X because it reminded them of our Yeshua's cross. That's how much contempt these creatures in shoe leather, these adversaries in shoe leather, have for you and me and our faith and our Messiah. They didn't want to put an X on the paper when they couldn't write their name, so they'd put a circle. And so the people at Ellis Island started using the slang term kike for Jews because it was shortened form of kikel, which just means a circle. Just like the word nigger. Everybody's been triggered to Oh my God, the N word. Well, nigger is just a different way of pronouncing niger, which is the Latin word for black. So when you use the N word, you're actually calling somebody a black person. Just like in Spanish, it's negro, which is in English pronounced negro, but it's negro in Spanish. What does it mean? Black. So how many people have been told, oh, you're discriminating against these people when you use the word Negro or nigger or niger or any of these other, all those words mean is black. And yet when I was a young man, that's what we were told black people wanted to be called, black. Well, these words mean black. Make up your freaking mind. But they've weaponized everything. That's what communists do. You have to understand, communism cannot creep in and take over unless there is total chaos. A homogeneous nation that is on sound principles and confident and strong cannot be overcome by communists. They have to come in and they create chaos and turmoil and they weaponize everything, which is exactly what's going on in the United States. And again, these aren't my concerns. These concerns were passed to me back in the 1990s by a United States Air Force general that I had the honor and privilege to meet in person at one of our conferences. And that conference was hosted by another man that I had respect for, though we disagreed on certain things, but Pastor Pete Peters out of Colorado. But he was hosting the conference and he had U.S. Air Force General Benton Parton come and speak to us about the bombing at Oklahoma City of the Murrah building. And he made a very, very strong case for the fact that the mainstream media was lying their ass off, as was the government, as was any military people involved. They were all lying to us about Oklahoma City. And we all know by now that that is true. I mean, we've interviewed Cody Snodgrass, who was one of the black ops guys, if you will, that was offered $1 million to lead that demolition and murder in Oklahoma City. And according to Cody, when he was interviewed on this program, he said that I became a target because of my refusal. He said, you don't refuse these people. When they offer you $1 million to go do some nefarious deed, you do it or you become a target. He said, however, I was an assassin. I admit it. He said, I've repented of what I've done for this U.S. government. I was an assassin, but I was an assassin in other countries. I refused to murder people on American soil and bring down a major structure on American soil. Interestingly enough, Yahweh typically gives us a double witness when he wants to make a point. And I ran into a gentleman when I worked out in the Midwest back in the 1990s, and he was an American sniper. And he was younger than I was, and so we got engaged in conversation after he got to where he trusted me enough to talk about these things. And he told me about his career as an American sniper in our army with 27 confirmed kills. That's quite a few. 27 confirmed, which means he probably had twice that number unconfirmed. So we're talking about 75 to 100 people that this man shot and killed as a member of the United States military. So I looked at him one day when he was telling me all this, and I said, well, I won't say his name. We'll call him Roger. I looked at Roger and I said, Roger, judging your age and when you were active in the military, I said, Vietnam was over. So where the hell were you at killing all these people? he said Central and South America. Oh, but Dan, you don't believe these stories about the CIA and all these other organizations and what they do to these other countries, especially third world countries, etc. Oh, you don't believe all that, do you? Yeah, actually I do, because I've read the book, The Brothers, by Mr. I can't think of his name. Starts with a Z. No, can't escapes me at the moment. But The Brothers, about John Foster Dulles and Alan Dulles. Alan Dulles, of course, was instrumental in starting the OSS, which became the CIA. Both of them kikes, both of them working for very rich kike law firms out of New York. Okay, so they used their offices in the U.S. government to establish the intelligence community, which has been run by Jews and used by Jews to further Jewish interests from the day they were created. And again, just read the book, The Brothers. And if you don't know how to find it, contact me. I'll be glad to help you find a copy of it. It was given to me by a friend who said, for some reason, Dan, I thought of you while I was reading this book. I wonder who was speaking to him. So he gave me his copy of it, and I couldn't put it down. Absolutely amazing. So let me get down to the definition of a banana republic, why I chose that for a title. And now this is the dictionary definition. It does not mean how we use it, which I will explain here in a minute. But it's basically a country that is economically dependent on a single export commodity, such as bananas. And it's typically governed by a dictator or the armed forces. So when people call somebody a nation a banana republic, that's what they're talking about. Not so much that their economy today is based on a single commodity, because not too many countries are anymore, but because it's governed by either dictators or a military junta, or a military dictatorship. So, banana republic. Another definition is a small country, especially in Central America, that is politically unstable. There's another reason we use the term banana republic, when we see political instability, and has an economy dominated by foreign interests. Oh, you mean like Israelis? Usually dependent on one export, such as bananas. So the reason banana republic, of course, is because we are under a totalitarian system, and they have weaponized the intelligence agencies, law enforcement agencies, to be their civilian army to enforce this totalitarian communist dictatorship. And people say, well, Dan, I can't believe you say that about America. America, you know, it's free. Maybe in your mind. But that's only because you, apparently, whoever says that, have not come up against the communist regime taking over. Because when you do, you're going to find out how few freedoms you have left in these days. Very few. Very, very, very few. All right. I wanted to, I want to go to Romans 13 here for a bit. Let me grab it and pull it up here. Because people get this totally screwed up. Now, there's a really good book written by, somebody we sent out a lot of information about. I don't know why I'm having trouble. Maybe it's my age setting in here. My memory sometimes is not kicking in. But it was a exposition about Romans 13. I want to say Pastor Blanchard, but it wasn't Blanchard. It was, he used to live in Florida. He's up in Montana now. He ran for government. In fact, he ran for president. Oh, Chuck Baldwin. There you go. Popped in my head. Thank you, Father. But anyway, Chuck Baldwin and his son, who is a constitutional lawyer, however, lawyers in general, I don't have any respect for whatsoever. But they wrote a book on just Romans 13 and how it is completely mistranslated. But because we are short on time, I went ahead and called it up. And we're going to go through it real quick. I'm going to take some of the points from their book, but also points that I've learned from other authors and researchers. But I'm going to use the World English Bible here. Let every soul be in subjection to the higher authorities. And usually they stop there. But sometimes they'll continue. For there is no authority except from Yahweh God. And those who exist are ordained by God. Okay, so they take Romans 13, verse 1, and boom, that's it. Stop right there. Occasionally, a single verse will be able to stand on its own, but more often than not, you need to get the context, especially about something as controversial as Romans chapter 13. So starting in verse 2, therefore, he who resists the authority withstands the ordinance of Yahweh God, and those who withstand will receive to themselves judgment. Now, here is the critical part, starting in verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to the good work. Uh-oh. It's funny, they don't ever include 13. Verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good work, but to the evil. Now, do you think in Yahweh's mind, good works versus evil works is based on man's law or on God's law? You figure it out. So the rulers that's being talked about, the authorities that are being talked about in verses 1 and 2 are defined for us in verses 3 and 4. The rulers that are from our Father and that are expected to be obeyed are for good works, not evil. Do you desire to have no fear of the authority? Do that which is good. In whose eyes? Yahweh's eyes. And you will have praise from the same. Do you get praise for wanting to obey God's law today by these, quote, authorities? For he is a servant of God to you for good. Can anybody with a clear conscience and a brain that even remotely functions say that these people today in authority are servants of God for good? Can you say that, honestly? Or have you yourself become a reprobate? But if you do that which is evil, be afraid. Uh-oh. Do people that do things evil today, are they afraid of those in charge? Absolutely not. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is a servant of God, an avenger for wrath to him who does evil. So right there in those two verses, the ones that they don't include, verses 3 and 4, it is very clear that verses 1 and 2 are not talking about the people in charge today. In fact, they are the enemies of the righteous. If you want to find out what Yahweh expects you to do with the enemies of his righteousness, go read Psalm 149. Tell you what, why don't we go there and read it right now? It's a short one. Psalm 149, right near the end, next to the last. Praise Yahweh. sing to Yahweh a new song, his praise in the assembly of the saints. Who are the saints? His ecclesia, his called out ones. Has nothing to do with a building or anything remotely called a church or a cathedral. Let Jacob Israel, the people, rejoice in him who made them. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. That's you and me, folks, not these damn Jews. Get that out of your head. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises to him with tambourine and harp. For Yahweh takes pleasure in his people. He crowns the, who? Humble. Humble. Most white people today don't have a damn clue what the word humble is all about. He crowns the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in honor. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Who? The saints, the called out ones. Does it say everything with two legs and two arms? Hell no. May the high praises of Yahweh God be in their mouths. Uh-oh, wait a minute, verse 6. May the high praises of Yahweh God be in their mouths and a two-edged sword in their hand. Now, verse 7 will tell you what that two-edged sword is for. To execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples. To bind their kings. Today, they would be what? Prime ministers, presidents, cabinet officials, congresses, parliaments, to bind their earthly rulers or kings with chains, and their nobles, which means those under their command, and their nobles with fetters of iron, like in shackles, to execute on them the written judgment. All his saints have this honor. Praise Yah. And what does Yah mean? I am. You know, most white people today that read a Bible, they understand he's called the I am, but they don't even know that in the Hebrew it was Yah. Yah is I am. Which is similar to, like in Spanish, soy. One word, soy, is I am. Just like Yah is I am. Yahweh, I am that I am. I am the eternal, the ever-living. In fact, in French Bibles that I've looked at, that is the name that Father is given, l'éternel, the eternal one. The fingerprints are everywhere, folks, if you open up your mind and do a little bit of research. I know it's a struggle. Most people are so busy today, it beggars description. It really does. But, again, do you want to be an overcomer in this day and age? At the end of this earth age where we find ourselves, say, do you want to be an overcomer, or do you just want to kind of float along and get along? Right? How many people do you know like that? They go along to get along. I heard that so often in my career that it made me nauseous by the time I retired. You know, Dan, just go along with what they want to do. It doesn't matter that it's immoral. It doesn't matter that it's unbiblical. It doesn't matter that it doesn't even make sense or any kind of logic. Just do it, Dan, because they're paying you. That's where we are today, the average person, especially the Caucasian Israelites. That's where they are today. Their heads are so far up their rectums, they don't know if it's day or night. Everything is based on money. Go along to get along, Dan, because they're paying you. What does Psalms say? It is better to be harmed for doing good than evil. If harm is going to come my way, and it could, it is better that I be harmed for doing Yahweh's work and good and righteous things than it is to be doing evil. I don't know how many days he has destined me to walk this earth. All I know is that the days you give me and may give me in the future are for him, first and foremost, and for our people, secondly. That I do know, and that every day you work as if it might be your last. Every day you tell the people in your life that you love them, it may be your last. Every day you do what you can do to make this a better world, because it might be your last. However, you study to be approved. You study to be a better man. You study to be a better husband, a better father, a better member of our race. You study as if you're going to live for 1,000 years. That's been my take since I was a young man. I still study. I still have hundreds and hundreds of books. In fact, I overheard my son and his wife telling my grandchildren recently, you know, your grandfather has read hundreds and hundreds of books, because they're teaching him to read and trying to get their interest in it. Why does he know what he knows? Because he's been a reader since he was a young boy. The work to be the man that Yahweh approves of never ends. You don't ever get to sit back going, I've done enough. No, you don't have that privilege. Every single day of my life, I've learned something new. Every single day of my life, I learned something new, something I didn't know the day before. And usually, it is something of the Father to teach me something. Excuse me. So get Romans 13 right. Anytime you hear some quack or charlatan from a whitewashed sepulcher talking about our job is to obey the authorities, tell him to pack sand, because he's a liar and a deceiver. He is a false prophet in the latter days. Psalm 144, verse 1, blessed be Yahweh, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. What's the modern day church world telling you? Oh, you're a sheep heading for the slaughterhouse. You should put your weapons down. You should acquiesce to the authorities. You can't defend your home and your property, because only authorities have the right to apprehend criminals. Only authorities have the right to hang murderers and pedophiles and rapists. Only the authorities have a right to use deadly force. Do you believe that bullshit? Do you actually believe our lives are to be turned over to these, quote, trusted authorities? That's not what your Bible says. That's not what the Holy Spirit says. It's not what our ancestors said. And it's sure as hell not what common sense says. Psalm 144, verse 1 again. Blessed be Yahweh, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Amen. That's part of being a man. It's part of being the head of a household. You better be a soldier. And I don't care what age you are. I don't even care what your condition is. As long as you can pull a trigger, you're part of the army. As long as you can drive an automobile, you're part of the army. As long as you can render first aid, you're part of the army. Hand out bullets or food or water, you're part of the army. Period. Ephesians 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of Yahweh God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of who? Your adversaries. Oh, I know, it says devil in the English. But diablos, the word that comes from in the Greek, simply means your adversaries. You got lots of adversaries. And again, your greatest adversaries wear yarmulkes and go to synagogues. But a lot of people haven't figured that out yet. But a lot of people are starting to figure it out. And some of them are quite mainstream. I'm talking about people with hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people that follow their channels. And in a few of cases, there are people in the millions who are following these channels. And they are starting to speak out about these hideous creatures that represent the root to the tree of evil. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 8, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. I'll give you three guesses what time we're in right now. As you look at the rapid deterioration of Western civilization, the destruction of our faith, and the destruction of our race. Yeah, it's not a time for peace, folks. It's a time for war. It's not a time to love, but in a way it is love. When you hate your enemies who would do harm to your loved ones, that is a form of love, actually. I hate my enemies. I've said that 24 years ago when I started this radio program, and I've said it over the air many, many times. I hate my enemies, and I don't feel ashamed at all. Hatred of evil is a good thing. Hatefulness towards the perverts, murderers, rapists, thieves and traitors is a good thing. I hate them with a perfect hatred, just like my great ancestor, King David. You know, you've read him in the Bible, haven't you? I sure hope so. King David hated the enemies of Yahweh God with a perfect hatred and counted them as his own enemies. I like King David. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. What's the renewal of your mind? Kind of like being born again in a way, isn't it? That by testing you may discern what is the will of Yahweh God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Renew your mind. Kind of like repentance. Rethink. Rethink. In fact, the word for to think in French is penser, P-E-N-S-E-R, penser. Again, French, along with Italian and Spanish, are Romance languages, meaning based on Latin. So, repent, penser, to think. Rethink. Rethink what? Rethink your priorities. Rethink who has authority in your life. Rethink whether we should be trusting these entities that are lying to us and murdering us. Should we be obeying them or hunting them down with rope and torches? I vote for the rope and torches myself. Not obedience. I do not give consent. I do not acquiesce to traitors, murderers, perverts, and the mentally ill that are running this shit show we call a cacistocracy today. The way of the righteous and the wicked. This is Psalm number 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Okay, let me ask you, we just talked about that. Blessed is the man. You're not being blessed. And I know some of you feel that way. You're not being blessed. But it says here, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand on the path of sinners, meaning those who transgress Yahweh's law, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, naysayers, detractors. So there's some conditions that need to be met according to Psalm 1, verse 1, correct? I mean, again, if I'm getting it wrong, tell me. But that's how I see it. Verse 2, but his delight, now we're talking about the blessed man who does not go along with all this, his delight is in Yahweh's law, on his law. Wait a minute. You mean it doesn't say his delight is in man's law? It's funny, it doesn't say that. It says Yahweh's law. On his law, meaning Yahweh's law, he meditates day and night, which means at all times. Even Peter says in his writings, we must obey God rather than man. And yet, these Judeo-Christians, which is an oxymoron, by the way, there is nothing Judeo about faith in the Christ whatsoever, and yet they claim that they teach the Word of God. They claim that they read the, quote, Scriptures, and yet the Scriptures denounce them for their behavior. Verse 3, he will be like a tree planted by streams of water that produces its fruit in its season, whose leaf also does not wither. Whatever he does shall prosper. Hallelujah. You know what's cool? I'm going to digress here with a little anecdote. I planted a moringa tree less than 2 years ago. And I brought it home from the nursery, and it was about 4 feet tall. That's all, because it fit in the back of my SUV. And it didn't look all that healthy, but it was green, and I didn't see that it was dying or whatever. So I paid like $20 for it. And I brought it home, and I dug a hole in the backyard, and I planted that tree. And this verse reminds me of that. We shall be like trees planted by streams of water. Now, I don't live near a stream of water. However, I do live near the Everglades in South Florida. I do live on top of coral, which is porous. And you don't have to dig down but a few feet in South Florida, and you're going to hit water. Okay, so in a way, the Everglades, which is a river, by the way, a lot of people don't know that. Technically, the Everglades is a river. It's not very deep and it's not very fast, but it is moving water in one direction. It is technically a river. So this stream of water that goes across all of South Florida and goes under the coral, my tree sunk roots. And only a couple years after planting that tree, it stands over 15 feet tall. Now, a lot of people will tell you a tree will not develop that quickly, but this one is a few years old, and it's already towering above the top of my home, almost as big as its little brother in my neighbor's yard, and it's already producing seed pods by the dozens of these long, large seed pods. Now, a lot of people don't know anything about a moringa tree. I do, because I'm into natural health and I live in South Florida. And the people that live in South Florida know a lot about moringa trees, because a lot of people here are from Central and South America. The moringa tree is revered in the Latin countries because of its healing power. And pretty much the whole tree is part of that, the leaves, the root, and certainly the seeds. In fact, the seeds are so popular, they are bagged, they are roasted and bagged and sold in stores here and eaten instead of worthless potato chips and everything else. Some of the locals will eat moringa seeds. I brought that up again because this verse in Psalm 1 reminds me of my moringa tree and how it's been blessed for me to watch it grow. The miracle of life that our Father gives the vegetation around us, and yet we take it for granted. We allow these perverts to poison our water and our air when Yahweh wanted this whole earth to be covered with such beautiful vegetation that would supply our needs. We don't need medicines. You don't. Your food is your medicine. The herbs, meaning trees and plants, are your medicine. They're both your food and your medicine. I go out every couple days and I take some of the nice fresh green leaves off of the moringa tree and I take them right off and start eating them. Kind of tasty, actually. But that tree, to me, represents his word. It's a physical representation. Because of where it was planted, it has the nutrients and water that even in this scorching heat, it is strong and vibrant with bright green leaves. Why? Because it's got deep roots down into the water table so that it can survive. We are living waters. Okay? He's living waters to you and me. As we absorb him into our lives, we become like the moringa tree. In this sick, demented world we live in, you stand as an example against everything these evil, corrupt people are trying to push. You are to be the salt that preserves this world. That's what we were put here for. You know that, right? I hope. Sure hope so. And then it says in verse 3, he will be like a tree planted by streams of water that produces its fruit in season, whose leaf also does not wither. Again, like my moringa tree. Whatever he does shall prosper. Talking about you and me, folks. If we're planted with deep roots into the living waters of our Messiah and his teachings of Yahweh's law, don't we stand against all this nonsense going on? Sure as hell do. Are the works of the righteous prospering today? Most of the righteous I know are. Now, we may not be kings and queens yet, living in high rises and have millions of dollars because we're at the end of this age. Our riches are in our relationship to our Father and the truths that he teaches us. How many people with lots and lots of fake money, Federal Reserve notes, are laying in hospitals right now dying? I'd rather be poor but rich in the knowledge of truth of my Heavenly Father and the truths of this world. Verse 4, Psalm 1. The wicked are not so, we just said that, but are like the chaff which is driven by the wind. Therefore the wicked shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For Yahweh knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. Shall perish. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Are you listening? Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from Yahweh God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, John wrote that almost 2,000 years ago, as far as we know. A long time ago, anyway. So many false prophets, even in his day, and you sure as hell got a bunch of them today here. Turn on your television set on any Sunday morning, and you'll get to hear tons of them. Now, what kind of times are we living in? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 here, and we'll read a few verses. And tell me this doesn't describe what we live in today. Oh, yeah, Ella made a good point. We are the sheep, and we are the salt, and both of them are white. Yep, amen. Be proud of who you are. Never, ever allow them to make you ashamed of who you are. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 3. But know this, that in the last days, grievous times will come. Some versions put perilous times. For men will be lovers of self. Have you ever noticed that narcissism is almost a pandemic today? Lovers of money, that one for sure is a pandemic today. A real pandemic versus this whole COVID bullshit story we've been fed. They are boastful, arrogant, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, meaning disobedient to your ancestors. Because, to be quite frank, a lot of parents don't deserve much respect today. They don't know how to be parents. But in this verse, he's talking about disobedient to the traditions of our ancestors, the honoring of our ancestors and what they believed in. Unthankful, unholy, meaning not consecrating themselves to the living God. Without natural affection. You can't have natural affection and murder a baby. I hate to tell you this, folks. You can't do it. Okay? You don't have natural affection. You don't have natural affection if you put your child in a public school system. You don't. You don't have natural affection if you allow Child Protective Services to get away with the bullshit they've been pulling. You don't. You don't have natural affection. You don't have natural affection if you see the goons, the jackbooted thugs, breaking into your neighbor's house or taking his property. You don't have natural affection. You don't. Unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, fierce, not lovers of good. Amen to that. Traitors, headstrong, meaning stubborn. Conceited. Yeah. Almost, like I said, narcissism on the rise. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of Yahweh God. Holding a form of godliness, but having denied its power. So they go through the motions, but they're not willing to do what it takes to get the blessings. Turn away from these also. For some of these are people who creep into houses and take captive gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. And by the way, my friend John, who lives in Greece, and he has a home here in Florida as well, he told me in the Greek language that verse 6 here, when it talks about gullible women, in the Greek language, that exact same word also refers to effeminate men. Okay? So these people creep into your house through your flat screens. You give access to your home to your enemies through your flat screens. And they take captive of gullible women and effeminate men, which, by the way, today is the majority of our men. They are just like gullible women. They are effeminate, easily taken captive, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why is that? Because they don't really want the truth. Why does he send a strong delusion on people? Because they don't love the truth anymore. They don't. They want their ears tickled. Tell me the smooth things, Dan. Tell me the things that will make me smile and laugh. I don't want to know about the bad stuff. Okay. Jeremiah 20, verse 11. But Yahweh is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. Hallelujah. I also like the verse in scripture that talks about to the authorities, he said, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. Do you think there's power in those words? And we're talking about his true anointed, his true prophets. Well, they're here. Trust me, they're here. Touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. And Isaiah 42, verse 13, Yahweh goes out like a mighty man, like a man of war. He stirs up his zeal. He cries out, he shouts aloud. He shows himself mighty against his foes. Should we be like our father? Or should we be like these effeminate men talked about in the other verse? You think Yahweh honors the effeminate, easily pushed over guys with their little man buns and their little skinny jeans and their makeup and all this bullshit that they spew out of their mouth following along? Because after all, I got to protect my job, Dan. I've got bills to pay. I got kids in school, you know, and I got insurance to pay for. You do what you have to do. You will stand in front of that great white throne one day. You will be judged in the here and now. And it won't be me that judges you. The one who created this world, the one who set the rules and the governing laws of nature in effect, he will judge you. I, personally, really don't care what you do. Being honest, I don't. I'm losing my empathy for my race, for their cowardice, their laziness, their vanity, their going along to get along attitude, and for the fact that they bought into the lies to where they don't even know how to be warriors anymore. They don't train to be warriors physically, mentally, and spiritually. You got to do it all. The enemy, of course, knows that if you cease to do those things, then you're not going to be much of a foe. And that's what they're doing to us. Okay. I did get some headlines today. I want to read down through some of them because I think you need to know about it. One of the articles put out by Michael Snyder at Activist Post says 9 signs that the U.S. consumer is about to break. This goes along with Bill Holter that was interviewed on USAWatchdog.com with Greg Hunter. I like Bill Holter. He's basically saying the same things. We are literally on the brink. Hopefully you folks have been listening to the many years we've talked about getting back to the basics, getting back to self-sufficiency as best you can. Okay, I know a lot of you don't have a ton of money, but there's something you can do to become more self-sufficient, to become more aware, to become more prepared for a disaster, to be like good Boy Scouts. The Boy Scouts used to have a saying, you prepare for the worst. You hope for the best, of course, but you prepare for the worst. Or as the general told me, a good soldier prepares for war and prays for peace. That's a good soldier, and I'm a good soldier. I prepare for war every day of my life, but I pray for peace. No real soldier likes violence. No real soldier One, General Patton, General MacArthur, General Benton Pardon, all of them would agree with that. Nobody in his right mind, even, would want war and violence. But because we love who we love, we hate those that would visit violence upon our people. And again, I like the Bushido code, Japanese Bushido code of the warrior, that says how you deal with evil, violent men is for good men to be better trained at violence. That's how you deal with violent, evil people. That's what the Knights of the Round Table were all about, and the Crusaders, even though they were taken off course at one point. The whole idea of a knight is the same thing as the idea of a samurai warrior. They are servants of the people for good. They are the warriors better trained at violence than the criminal element. That principle is still here today. Another article that popped up that took me back to when we interviewed Joe Cortina, who also lives down in Central Florida. Joe Cortina wrote the book John 8:44, exposing the Antichrist, Sons of Satan. We interviewed him about his books. He was a commander in the Special Forces. But he told me personally that he was looking into, this was many years ago now, probably about 8 years ago now, he was looking into the extremely high suicide rate amongst our military. I believe at that time he told me it was somewhere around 21 to 24 soldiers a day. There's a new article put out by Tyler Durden, at activistpost.com. It's called The U.S. Military Suicide Crisis. So since Joe Cortina's starting to look into this, it's gotten much worse. I put the article up on my website. So if you want to see it, go to the Daily Mail page and it'll be near the top. But the title of the article is The U.S. Military Suicide Crisis. Again, it's written by Tyler Durden. And you need to read that. It's pretty serious, folks. Pretty serious. Another article that I have posted there is the taxpayers bailed out yellow trucking, and yet it went bankrupt anyway. The American taxpayers have been bilked by the hundreds of millions of dollars, and sometimes even billions with a B, billions of dollars, for these companies and banks. And what were you told by the trusted voices? Oh, they're too big to fail. And yet, our country was made great because we had a philosophy of business and economy that said, if you don't make a good product, if you're not honest, you deserve to fail. It's actually healthy. It's like a forest fire. People say, oh, we got to prevent forest fires. Forest fires do good. They cleanse the earth. They burn up all that dead, dried up material, and they turn it into ash, which turns into nourishment for the soil. There's been plenty of articles written about it, the benefits of forest fires, and yet we try to stop forest fires. Same thing with floods. Oh, we don't want floods. We're going to put all these dams up and everything else, and yet floods were what Yahweh put on this earth to flush things down every so often. Also to spread out the soot and the nutrients. They actually do good things. But why did we stop it? Because people want to build their homes and protect their homes, whether it's by the woods or by the river. So we do the unnatural to protect what? Property. And yet Yahweh owns this earth. You don't. So you're going to violate his natural order to protect your property, your, quote, investment. Here we go again, the love of money. Why do you buy insurance? Because I don't want to lose my money in my investments, Dan. Really? So Jewish insurance companies are getting filthy rich out of your fear because you don't trust Yahweh. Your fear that somebody might either steal or destroy your, quote, property. So you'll pay an arm and a leg to the Jew insurance companies because of your fears. A lot of people think I'm kidding, but I've never paid for health insurance my entire life. For a short period of time, I worked for a power company that provided it as part of our benefit package, but I only worked there for a short period of time. And I didn't ask for it. I didn't want it. But once I left there and became a contractor, and ever since, I've never paid for insurance. Because I don't plan on using insurance. Even if I had it, I would not go to a clinic, I would not go to a doctor, and I would not go to a hospital. Those are the last places I would go. Why in the hell would I pay for insurance that would pay for me visiting them when I don't plan on going there anyway? And again, you can see the fear in people's eyes when you even talk like that. Oh, not having insurance? Oh my God. Yeah, exactly that. Oh my God. I'll put my faith in my Heavenly Father. It's like one person said about health. I said, you know, they said, well, what if you get ill? What if you get cancer? What if you, what if? I said, well, here's what's going to happen. I have a very small number of people I trust my life and my health to. If those people can't help me get over it, I die. There. How much more simple do you need it? Well, you're not serious, are you? Yeah, I am serious. If my naturopathic family and friends can't help me have my body conquer whatever's going on, then I'm ready to die. Because I sure as hell don't want into their institutions. And remember, I have family that are doctors and nurses. I have friends that are doctors and nurses. And I'm not trying to disparage them, but I wouldn't step foot in those buildings. I don't trust them. I do trust my father. I do trust my moringa tree. I do trust my neem trees. I do trust my vegetables that are planted. I trust the herbs that I order from very select providers. I trust them. I trust the physical exercise I get, the sunshine, the physical activity I get. I trust those. I trust the created body that my Heavenly Father put my spirit into, that it was created by somebody who knows a hell of a lot more than you and me. And that it is quite capable of managing things if I take care of it. That's what I trust. A couple more articles that hit my page there that you might be interested in. One of them here is what you need to know about GMO foods and what they're doing to hide what they're doing to the foods today. Another one is an interview with Sir Julian Rose on the new, quote, redesigned GMOs that threaten our food supply. See, they don't ever stop, folks. When we get savvy to, well, for instance, like MSG, monosodium glutamate, which is terrible for the human body. It also fattens you up. That's what it was first designed for. Okay? When we got savvy to monosodium glutamate or the initials MSG, they changed the label. You see, that's how Satan's kids, the adversaries, that walk in shoe leather amongst us, and yeah, they wear yarmulkes, go to synagogues, they're always taking data. And when they see a significant number of people are starting to figure out how they're poisoning us, they change the rules to hide things. The other thing that they hide, MSG and these other artificial, quote, flavor enhancers, which, by the way, have human DNA and fetal material in them. Did you know that? They hide them under natural flavorings. Natural seasonings. You say, well, they're not natural. No, but they changed the definition. You don't see, that's why our Congress, your Congress, I should say, not mine, these monsters that take these big paychecks and even bigger hidden funding from the pharmaceutical industry, they changed the wording of the regulations to allow the Jews to go in there and do that. You're going to trust these people with your life, with your health, with your money, with your future, with your families? I don't trust them at all. Also, a couple articles in there talking about the directed energy weapons being used now against the people in Hawaii at Maui, exactly as they did in Paradise, California a few years back. Same exact scenario. This is what these people do to you. You're nothing more than cattle to these people. You do know that, right? They use the term goyim, but in Yiddish, that just means you're an animal. You're a herd animal, just like a cow, just like sheep, just like goats. You're a herd animal to be kept fenced in, to be controlled, and to be used by them. Have you figured it out yet? And another article I found kind of interesting, actually two of them, there was a former Capitol Police Chief, Stephen Sund, S-U-N-D, was interviewed by Tucker Carlson, and he talks about the fact that January 6th didn't go down at all like we were told. And this other article is Justin Trudeau's wife left him because his pedophilia is about to be exposed. Very interesting. Very, very, very interesting. All right. The world we live in today is a dystopia, absolute dystopia. It's a shame that it has to get this bad before our people even start to look upwards for their salvation in our Father in heaven. They keep looking for man-made institutions and men and women to solve their problems when the institutions and the wicked men and women created these problems. Repentance comes before the sword. I know a lot of people are constantly asking me, why are we not at war with these people, literally at war with these people. Why are we not? Because, simply, folks, repentance comes before Yahweh gives the green light. Well, there's a day coming. Psalm 149 talks about it. Obadiah talks about it. Ezekiel chapter 25 talks about it. There's a day coming when we will raise the sword and we will destroy the wicked. But Yahweh's using all of these things, these evil, rotten, terrible things, to just show how evil and rotten and terrible our people have become. These are punishments put on the people to get them to repent. So you want to see all this evil disappear? You want to see criminals hanging from the end of ropes? I know I do. Then repent. Go to your quiet place and cry out to the Father and repent of what you've become, what you have allowed to happen to this beautiful world that he had created. Just for us to sit here, just for us to experience, and for us to be tested. Repentance first. Then the bugle will sound the call for war. And then we become a flame and a fire, as Obadiah says. And we won't stop burning until every evil, wicked entity is destroyed. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to speak your truths to the world. We pray for that coming day when our people finally will get it, when they finally realize who they are and what their purpose on this earth is, when the men become warriors again, when they put away their petty grievances and their narcissism to become team players, when you will call us forward as your righteous army upon this earth, and we will literally cover the earth as a flame and a fire and destroy everything that does evil to the people and to the earth that you created. We pray for that day to be soon, Father. We pray for our people to wake up. In the meantime, for those who are awake, we pray for your blessings and protection upon them. We also ask, Father, that Keith and Allie, who got some very bad news recently in the area of health for Allie, that you'd be with them and give them strength to deal with what they're going through. And if it be your will, Father, that a miracle of healing be bestowed upon them. The rest of your righteous warriors out there, we ask a soldier's ransom type blessing, that they be given heavenly protections, but also that they be given discernment, clear vision, a stiff backbone, and a will to fight for good and righteous causes, even if there is a cost to pay. Be with us and guide us, Father, in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom. We ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.